we had dinner, and Michael had asked if I can cut an apple for him. I took the apple, I took a knife, I put it out, and I had turned because Madison had asked me a question. I turned to talk to her, I turned back, and I said, you know, didn't I just take the knife out to cut the apple? And I said, oh, please don't tell me your brother took it, because he does have a habit of taking things like my cell phone, Madison's iPod, and he'll take it and be very impulsive. He'll run and he'll jump on his bed and he'll hide it. Well, as I said that to Madison, I turned and I saw him standing in the hallway. And he just had this grimacing face, and I saw blood on his hand and I saw blood on his foot.
Can I ask you a question, please? Promise you won't laugh at me.
And I thought, oh my God, he cut his hand. He must have dropped the knife onto his foot. But I went to look on his hand. There was no wound. There was no wound on his foot.
As twisted as it seems.
So I said, Michael, where does it hurt? And he pointed to his chest.
That's where the blood was oozing out of his chest.
Let the darkness fade away. Can you turn my black roses red?
Madison was great. She's the one that yelled out, Ma, should I call 911? Should I call 911? And she kind of snapped me back into reality.
I said, yes, call 911.
He slowly started to not cry any longer. And finally he looked up and he said, Mommy. And he just kind of passed out. And I thought he died in my arms right at that moment.
Drowning in my loneliness, how long must I hold my breath?
Madison came out. She was still talking to the 911 operator.
Well, it was really scary. Like, just all the blood coming out, it was just so scary. I was, like, screaming. And I was just so sad, because I thought he was going to die, and I was just so sad.
Can you turn my black roses red?
They even discussed teleporting him, but they just didn't have enough time. And when I finally arrived, they said, we're going to try a few things.
Can you turn my black roses red?
He was on a respirator at the time. He had lost his entire volume of blood. They kept pumping blood. It just kept, you know, just kept losing it. They finally came out and said, we are going to have to take him to surgery. And I just took a peek in and I thought, I'm going to lose him. I don't want to see him looking like that. I just want to remember him as a healthy, vibrant child. And the nurses said, you really need to come and see him before we take him up. And I thought, that's when they were telling me, you know, this is it. They did the thoracotomy where they had to open him up, because when they brought him to the operating room is when they lost him. They had to do the paddles. His heart had stopped.
La, 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 la.
But thank God they found the artery that he had severed. They cauterized it and they stabilized him. That was the, you know, beginning of his recovery. The wonderful, wonderful medical attention continued in ICU. I remember joking with one of the nurses and I said, you know, you always hear on these medical shows, when is someone out of the woods? And he said, you just entered the woods. We're entering the woods with you. And I felt, you know, he was going to be okay.
Tell me what happened was the knife, and I took the knife. That's my bed, and I hurt myself. And the police helped me to save me.
The police took you to where?
To the children's hospital.
You know, it's coming back to the building and knowing what this is all about. It just makes it so real. You know, this isn't the most comforting setting to come and talk about it, but I felt, my God, we owe this hospital. I mean, they saved Michael's life, and we would do anything.